I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Southern New England Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI. Nick Hoyt in the Warwick studios. Scott Cordisci is joining us on the road. Good morning, Scott. What's going on?
Good morning, Mr. Coit. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
A little sleep deprived, but I'll make it.
Did you guys make the trip to the city last night? After the game?
No. Well, we're staying in New Jersey, so
gotcha.
After the overtime game ended, we got on the bus. We probably left Ithaca around 10 o'clock and got to our hotel before 2 in the morning.
Okay.
So
it's a bus ride.
Not bad.
It's pretty good.
Not terrible.
Yeah. Tough result last night, huh?
Yeah, real tough. I mean, I thought they outplayed and outcoached Cornell, but I think the 20 turnovers killed the Bears.
Yeah.
Not just the 20 points leading to 20 Cornell turnovers. They ruin offensive possessions when you turn it over, because they had a lot of unforced errors, I think, that hurt them in the way of turnovers. So they've got their work cut out for them. I mean, the good news is, I think, you know, like a lot of conferences this year, Nick, and I can't explain why this is the case.
It's weird, I know.
A lot of them seem to be bunched up. There's not a lot separating, let's say, you know, 5th, 6th, 7th place from 2nd, 3rd, 4th place. And that's the way it is in the Ivy League. I think that's the way it's been in the Big East this year as well. Even the A-10 for that matter. So, you know, they're not out of it, but they're going to have to start stringing together some wins here if they want to get into the top four and make it to the Ivy League tournament. Because unlike those other conferences, not every team gets invited to the postseason tournament. It's only the top four in the Ivy League that get to play in the conference's postseason tournament.
Right. I can't explain it either. It's so funny. Just looking at the landscape of the Big East is the big one for me, because it's amazing that at the top of the standings, it's Nova and it's Marquette. They're clearly the two best. It may be,
right. It
may be a two-bid league the way it's going. I think there's other teams that are, you know, even records in the Big East right now, that sort of thing, you know. But if besides those top two, you know, I asked Ed Cooley at practice Thursday, I was like, you know, how much do you stress to these guys? Like, yeah, we might have, you know, had some growing pains here, but you look at the standings and say we win out, say we win the last six or five of the last six or something along those lines, you can still be third in the Big East and be playing on the second day.
Yeah, they're 4-8, okay?
Yeah.
They're tied for last place. The Providence, Creighton, and Xavier are all 4-8, and Providence and Xavier ironically meet today at the dunk.
Right.
But the thing is, they're two games out of third. You're right.
Right.
Seton Hall and St. John's are 6-6. So you're 100% right. I mean, as bad as things look right now for a young Friars team, and it's understandable, they're young. Nobody thought they were going to set the world on fire this year. You know, if they string together some wins, they could really jump up in the standings. And it is kind of weird this year in college basketball, because usually there is a separation between the top half and the bottom half. And this year, it almost seems like, you know, most of it's all just bunched up together.
Sure. Yeah, it's strange. It's really strange. I think things are a little bit more, you know, I'm literally just browsing the standings right now with the Atlantic 10, too, because URI is in action today against Fordham, a game that it's a good situation for the Rams to go in. If they play well, they can bounce back. Fordham sits at 1-10 in the A-10, so it's a good situation for Rhode Island, who's trying to bounce back from a really just an ugly loss to Dayton last week, and Dayton near the top of the conference too. And yeah, this conference standings here, these are a little more normal. But you know, if Rhode Island can string together a few wins, you know, they can climb up a little bit. They're only what?
Well, they're a game and a half out of fifth.
Yeah, so you could move yourself up and get yourself. I mean, For these programs this year, you know, I think the realistic goal is just to you know, finish strong and play well and see what you can do in the conference tournament. That's the way I see it. You know, I think this is one of those years where both programs, when you're talking about PC and URI, are they're retooling here, and they're young. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have a lot of growth still left in them, and you know, especially I think with URI, I think you've seen some of the growth with a guy like a Tyrese Martin. I think over the course of the season, he's become more and more comfortable, but you want to see some of the more, you know, young guys come along, whether it be Jermaine Harris or Dana Tate or guys like that, and really sort of figure out where the program's going from here. And the good news is I don't think with PC or URI you're going to lose a ton to graduation. You know, I think with right. PC, it's Isaiah Jackson, and I don't know what's going to happen with Emmett Holt, but maybe Emmett Holt, maybe he comes, you know, I don't know what the situation is there. So I think both programs, you want to finish strong, you want to get in the postseason, and you want to put on a good show, even if you're not playing in March, which this year I think they'd really have to go on a really major run or win the conference to get there. And we'll talk a little bit more about this with Kevin McNamara of the Providence Journal at 8:15. He's going to join us today. And we'll talk some more hoops with Jay King of The Athletic, who's joining us today on the show, too. So a lot of hoops talk. We're transitioning.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Patriots season has been put to bed after yet another Super Bowl title, although you know, I mean, the NFL and the Patriots have now become a 24/7, 365 proposition, right? You've got the NFL right. draft, you've got impending free agency to discuss, and the NFL is king in this country. It is. It is the most popular sport. People call baseball America's pastime. Football passed baseball many, many years ago as America's favorite pastime, in all due respect to the sport of baseball. So, yeah, we'll be talking about the Patriots, I'm sure, in the weeks to come. But this morning, there's really not much, in fact, nothing at all on the table to talk about regarding that team. I think the interesting thing this morning, I know how much you love the Bruins, Nick, and I love to see how they're playing. They won their fourth straight last night, and yep. they started off that West Coast trip with a nice win, a shutout over Anaheim, with no David Pastrnak, too. I thought that was a big loss, you know, kind of a freak accident off the ice at a team event. Pastrnak hurts the hand, and that was a good win for them last night. They get right back on the ice tonight in Los Angeles against the Kings. But you've got the drama with the Celtics. I think that's really what's been kind of grabbing the headlines as of late here in New England mm-hmm. in terms of the sports scene. It's the drama with the Boston Celtics. It's the up and down yo-yo season this team has had. A team that, as we recall vividly, a lot was expected from before this season started. They were anointed on paper as the team to beat in the Eastern Conference, and they have not played like that consistently at all this season. I mean, clearly Milwaukee has established itself as that team. I think early on people thought it might be the Toronto Raptors, who are right now sitting in the number two spot in the Eastern Conference. But the Celtics have had their issues this season, and I'm not sitting here trying to say they're a bad team. They're not. They are a good team. They're a very talented team. But, you know, right now they're sitting tied for fourth with Philadelphia, a game behind Indiana. I do think they can get up to and will be that number three seed. That's what my gut tells me. But this season has not played itself out without a lot of drama, right? I mean, we've totally. Seen Kyrie Irving a couple of times come out and say, you know, this isn't going well, and the young guys and this and that. And then Marcus Morris had his explosion last week saying it's not fun and this and that. And so, you know, it's really led, I think, to some interesting speculation about what comes next for this team. What's Danny Ainge going to do? And to be honest with you, the way I see it, I think Kyrie Irving holds all the cards, and I hate to say that, but I think Danny Ainge and the Celtics are at Kyrie Irving's mercy here. You know, Kyrie made the statement before the season started at that Celtics season ticket holder event that I want to stay here and sign long term with Boston, and that put everybody's mind at ease. But that changed dramatically just a few weeks ago. You know, with Kevin Durant, you know, being pressured about where he's going to wind up next year, and then rumors that maybe KD and Irving want to team up with the New York Knicks, and then rumors that maybe he and Anthony Davis want to team up somewhere, and this, that, and the other thing. So I think Kyrie holds all the cards, whether or not we like it, Celtic fans, and we're kind of at his mercy to find out what his plans are and what he wants to do next.
I think his exact words were, it was something along the lines of, you know, if you'll have me, I plan on re-signing in the offseason. Which, right. when you read into that, you say, I plan on, if you'll have me, you know, does it leave a little bit of if he doesn't re-sign here? He said, I plan on it. But I think it, as long as the ink's not on the paper yet, you're right, Scott. I think we're all sitting here waiting to see what's going to happen with Irving. I still think he signs here. I do. I feel that I've felt that way the whole time. I think there's a lot of drama. I think there's a lot of drama with Kyrie. I think he talks a lot. he says a lot of things. And I think, and obviously, and if there's a narrative out there, and I know I've heard Celtics fans calling into both radio stations this week and trying to convince themselves, and I think part of it was Kyrie didn't play this week, and they go out and they win two games and win them well against Detroit and Philadelphia, especially the Philly game. I think the Celtics look pretty good. A lot of people are like, well, yeah, maybe we're better without Kyrie. And it's like, come on. If Kyrie Irving's going to stay here and he signs here, you are way better with Kyrie Irving than you are without Kyrie Irving. You need a superstar. If you're going to go after a championship, you know, maybe you like the Celtics a little bit better without Kyrie and all the drama there, whatever. But I think that comes with the territory when you have a superstar player like Kyrie Irving. I think that's just what it is, especially a guy that's been around LeBron James and has been a teammate of LeBron James. It's going to, he rubbed off on him. You can tell in the way he talked, the way he carries himself sometimes, he rubbed off on him. But I think as much drama as there seems like to be behind the scenes and whatnot, I still think that, you know, I think a lot of the guys on the team like Kyrie. They like playing with Kyrie because he's a superstar. He's one of the best guards in the league. And, you know, you can re-sign him, then you go from there. And if you may, we'll see what happens with the Anthony Davis drama. You know, I think there's been a narrative out there too that, well, maybe we don't want to trade for Anthony Davis the way he's handling things in New Orleans. It's been interesting to watch that play out. And I think a lot of it has to do with the agent, Scott, is Rich Paul. I think he's giving him some guidance that really, in terms of PR standards, is it does not look good. You know, the fact that he got hurt his shoulder or whatever and walked out of the arena midway through the game the other night, that's just an awful look. And I don't know.
The Pelicans fire their GM.
And the Pelicans fire their GM, and it's like, man, oh man, and that's got to be advice coming from the agent. That's the way I see it. I don't think Anthony Davis is doing that himself. You know, from all accounts, besides, you know, before he signed with his agent, he's a decent kid, decent guy, and now he's getting all this advice, and there's this drama with the trying to trade to the Lakers and all that kind of stuff, and yeah, it's going to be interesting, but really, I'm interested more in, because it's the current situation, how this team does. And you're right, Scott. You want to see how far they go up in the standings. I think the big difference still for this year's team and this roster is, and I think the key is, how does Gordon Hayward produce when you get toward the postseason? Because if Gordon Hayward is close to the guy that they signed, this is a different team. And I think you saw it this week with the two performances that he had against Philadelphia. He was great against Philly with 26 points. But also, I think stringing together a game like that back-to-back with Detroit, where he comes out, gets 18 points, 8 assists, he's starting to share the ball, and he's starting to facilitate more and all that kind of stuff. If he's comfortable, I think it gives you another weapon there. At some point, maybe they put him back in the starting lineup if he's playing that well. And I think that's what the Celtics envisioned for this season. And so if he is close to what the player he is, then that's going to be a major difference for this team.
Well, you know, and we've seen him play much better of late, haven't we, right? Gordon Hayward is really starting to kind of maybe, I don't know if it's round into shape, round into form, but let's not forget the gruesome ankle injury that he had to start the season last year when he was acquired by the Celtics. And maybe he's just starting to feel comfortable. And look, he's one of those guys, too, that, you know, early in the season when there wasn't enough playing time or basketballs to go around for everybody that thought they should be a starter on this team, he was one of the guys that was relegated to the bench. And correct me if I'm wrong here, Nick. Was he a guy that kind of willingly offered to be a guy coming off the bench? I thought that was the case, but I might be, you know, recalling that incorrectly.
I'm not totally sure.
I thought he went to Brad Stevens and volunteered to be one of those guys to come off the bench. Regardless,
right.
He is one of those guys that comes off the bench. And you're right. When he looks good, it definitely just adds another dimension to this basketball team and makes them that much better. But I want to go back to what you said earlier. And look, I understand the narrative. And Danny Ainge came out this week and he kind of poo-pooed all the people that said, I think it's ridiculous. People suggest that we might actually be a better team without Kyrie Irving. I'm not a dummy, Danny. I understand. There's two different things we're talking about here, okay? Are the Celtics a more talented team without Kyrie Irving? The answer to that is unequivocally no, okay? They would be a far less talented team with Kyrie Irving not on the roster because he is a arguably top 10 talent in the NBA today. However, are you a better team without Kyrie Irving? I don't think that's as crazy of a question as you might think it is. And the reason I say that is there's a lot of different things at play here. Let me explain. Number one, I have questioned Kyrie Irving and his leadership skills this season by publicly calling out the younger guys on more than one occasion. Number two, this is a guy that has publicly vacillated between staying, wanting to stay in Boston, wanting to leave here, and not being sure. Okay? Number three, like it or not, and this is part of Kyrie Irving's history, this guy has not shown the ability to be able to stay healthy and stay on the floor for an extended period of time for the Boston Celtics. Okay? I get it. They're a much more talented team with Kyrie Irving. And if he could put all that other BS aside, if he could stay healthy, and if he could be a better leader, in my opinion, than he's been and keep his mouth shut, I think they would be a better team without Kyrie Irving. But I would be lying also if I said I did not have my doubts as to whether or not long-term it would be a great idea for this team to hold on to Kyrie. Because, you know, we saw how much this team overachieved without him last postseason. And, you know, I know they've played a couple of good games, had a couple of good wins since he hurt his knee. And I'm not suggesting, again, that they are indeed a better team without him. But part of me wonders if maybe or not, maybe they couldn't be a better team without him. And if Danny Ainge were to find another star to hitch his wagon to. I don't know the answer to that question. I know how hard it is to win in this league, and the only way you win championships is if you have multiple superstars on your roster. So letting one go, like Kyrie Irving, sets you way back as a franchise if you don't replace him with another superstar. I get it. You're not getting Anthony Davis without Kyrie Irving. I get it. But the fact of the matter is, you may not get Anthony Davis anyway, right? His father says he doesn't want him to play in Boston. you know, but by all accounts, he's joining LeBron out in Los Angeles. That's going to happen.
Yep.
So if that's the case, and if you believe that Kyrie Irving may be teaming up with Kevin Durant and wanting to go to New York to turn the Knicks franchise around, where, by the way, they could also get the number one pick in Zion Williamson, then I don't know. Maybe if you're Danny Ainge, you had better start thinking about planning for the future with the Boston Celtics and what that's going to look like without Kyrie Irving. So, again, I don't think it's an outrageous question to ask. I don't think it's an outrageous thing to do to speculate whether or not the Celtics should consider moving on from Kyrie Irving. I think there are legitimate reasons to discuss this.
Okay. No, I you laid it out perfectly, I think, Scott. There's a lot of reasons there. There's a lot of things that, you know, there's a lot of headaches, I think, that come along with Kyrie Irving. But I think ultimately it comes down to if Kyrie Irving goes and you have the roster that you have now, because I don't know what superstar you'd bring in. I don't know who you'd bring in, whatever. If you have the roster that you have right now, say Terry Rozier takes over and is the starting point guard for this team, are you going to win a championship? And then I think the answer to that is no.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think it becomes almost impossible to win a championship if you just get rid of Kyrie and you're not talking about replacing with anybody else.
Right.
As I said, you need multiple superstars to win an NBA title.
Right.
Now, can Gordon Hayward turn into one of those guys like he was out in Utah, like we thought we were getting when they signed him from the Jazz? Maybe. But that still leaves you one or two stars short of where you need to be competing atop the Eastern Conference with the Milwaukee Bucks, with the Toronto Raptors, you know, with, in the West, the Golden State Warriors. So, I'm at a loss here. I think Danny Ainge is in arguably the toughest position he's been in since taking over as general manager of the Boston Celtics, because I think in an ideal scenario, he was thinking, okay, I've got one of my superstars and I'm on my way to getting a second. and now all this crap has happened this year between the struggles that the Celtics would have and Kyrie opening his mouth and also the Anthony Davis thing. I think Danny really thought, hey, we are primed to get Anthony Davis. We're going to get this guy, and we're going to have our two stars, and we are going to be here for a while competing for NBA titles. But I think a lot of crap has been thrown into the mix for Danny's grand plan. And now I think it leads to a lot of questions.
I wonder with the Davis thing, because we all know, I think, that especially with Rich Paul involved, that, you know, there was a deal with the Lakers, whatever. Did that get soured here by the deal not happening and the demands from the Pelicans and all that? Because at this point, too, still the team that will offer the best package to the New Orleans Pelicans, especially with you know, if you can avoid trading him, Danny Ainge would be a genius or a saint or just a swindler like he usually is. Jason Tatum, I think, is a big X factor. And I think all of the draft picks that you have. I mean, the thing with the Celtics, that's what's going to make this Anthony Davis situation really interesting. And now that they fire the GM, too, you know, I wonder how that's going to affect negotiations, because this trade will now happen in the offseason. Yep. If you're the Celtics and say you sign Kyrie and then you have what you have on the table, it's better than what the Lakers can offer.
Nobody's debating that, Nick.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew from the outset that nobody could offer a better package to the New Orleans Pelicans and the Celtics. The problem is, it seems pretty clear to me that Anthony Davis wants to be a Laker and wants to be a teammate of LeBron James and doesn't want to be a Celtic. I'm not saying he wouldn't settle for it for a year, but I almost feel like he would come here for a year and say, okay, that's it. I'm going. And I know Danny Ainge feels otherwise, and I understand that argument too. The argument is, hey, I understand what his dad's saying. I understand that he wants to be a Laker. But if we can just get him here for a year, team him up with Kyrie, compete for and possibly win a championship and expose him to how great the Boston Celtics fan base is, that maybe, just maybe, we can convince him to stay long term because we'll be able to pay him more than any other team and all that stuff. So I get the argument for going after Davis at all costs this offseason, but I don't know. I am leery. When I see something like this in a guy that I think really truly wants to be LeBron James' teammate in Los Angeles, I'm not sure renting him for a year is the right thing to do. Maybe, and I look at the young guys and Tatum and, you know, Brown and Gordon Hayward starting to come on here, and that's a fun team to root for. And I'd almost rather see Danny somehow, some way, figure it out another way. I know it's a much, much more difficult road to travel than to keep Kyrie and to bring in Anthony Davis. But, boy, it would be more enjoyable to figure it out another way and not have to deal with these two guys who, you know, I mean, I guess maybe that comes with the territory being a superstar, but I just don't like the prima donna attitude. I don't.
401-737-1287 if you want to call in and talk to us. What do you think about the Celtics? What should they do? Text us 37937. We've already got a couple of texts coming in. You want to talk about basketball? You want to talk about hockey? Texter says this morning, how about hockey, you dolts? Maybe we can talk some hockey at some point. We can even talk some baseball. I got a little baseball thing we can bring up here too during the show. Again, Kevin McNamara joins us at 8:15 from the Providence Journal to talk some college hoops and some professional hoops, and Jay King of the Athletic will join us at 8:45 as well. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk some more of what you want to talk about here on Southern New England Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.